98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, we are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's going on?
Good Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, no, I flopped totally.
Oh, no.
Oh, I had the worst. I flopped completely.
Oh, no.
Absolute disaster by me.
Oh, boy, what happened?
Epic failure by me on my part.
Hashtag epic fail. What did you do?
I want to preface this by saying, you know, in the last week, you know, I traded in her Navigator and I got her a new Navigator.
Okay.
So she got a new car.
Okay.
But I got her an office chair from Office Max. I got her like, hey, I'm going to get you a new chair. Like, I'm thinking this is going to be good, right? You know, I'm not going to get you a Gucci bag or Gucci sneakers or anything like that. That's like for your birthday.
Chair.
Like, you know, sometimes you just got to spend like $150 on a present. You can't always spend a lot of money on a present. So I went out and I was like, all right, I went to Office Max, me and Q. We went to Office Max. We sat in all these chairs and I picked out a really nice chair. It was like a Serta. It had all these cushions and everything.
Ample back support.
I went to Party City and I got a bunch of the Mother's Day balloons and everything. And then, you know, I got a mug, you know, a Mother's Day mug from Q. And then and Brooke made her a card. And then I give her the chair and she's like, what, they didn't have a waffle maker? I'm like, wow. Okay.
Those are the exact words she used. They didn't have a waffle maker.
What, they didn't have a waffle maker for me? Yeah, this is not a Mother's Day present, okay? It's not a Mother's Day present.
I can actually see Gambo walking through the store and sitting down in every chair.
Every chair.
I can picture that.
I picked out a hell of an office chair.
I'm sure you did.
And I bought it Saturday, and I brought it back Sunday.
I'm sure you returned it on Sunday. You walked back in there and said, we're good.
I said, hey, just so you know, this was an epic fail. My wife hates me now. I completely botched this Mother's Day present.
Just to double down, you should have returned it and then came back home from Staples or wherever with like a bunch of manila folders or something.
Oh my God. Let me tell you something.
Box of pens.
This is why
honey.
This is why you just don't guess. As a man, you should never guess. What do you want? You tell me what you want. You know, like that type of stuff. Like, tell me what you want and then I'll go buy it. Because if I have to do it on my own, that's the result. I tried this. I always ask her, you tell me what you want, I'll go buy it.
Yeah.
This time, I decided to try something for myself. I flopped.
Well, you weren't the only one.
I was like the Suns last night.
Yeah, I was going to say you weren't the only one who had a bad Sunday. Let's weigh in on the top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in.
123-110, and that is Exhibit A, Your Honor, on why the L.A. Lakers are a very problematic matchup for the Phoenix Suns.
Ruh-roh.
Very problematic matchup indeed for the Phoenix Suns. Defensively, they neutralized Devin Booker. They ran two guys at him all night.
All night.
Chris Paul struggled in that game. They were running guys at him. They were basically daring everybody else on the roster to beat him. They couldn't do it. And the Suns had no answer. Zero, none, nada for Anthony Davis and Andre Drummond. And that was a team that didn't even feature LeBron or Kyle Kuzma or who's the other? Schroeder.
Dennis Schroeder.
And you watch that game and you go, oh, no, not them. Not them. Not them. Not them. Not
yeah,
them.
I want to scratch my comments from last week. I want to just take that back.
Okay.
Comment last week. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I want to show you on my show sheet for today, on the way in, I want you to read what I wrote in all capitals in the 2 o'clock hour.
I told you.
I told you you don't want them.
I told you
don't want the Lakers.
You know, you're
you
right.
Don't.
Listen, I'm going to take back the comments like you want the Lakers. They're injured. They're not healthy. This is the right time to get them. LeBron hasn't played. AD's been hurt. Schroeder's out. This is the right time to get them. You're playing Caruso. and Ben McLemore. Like, you know, go get and Gasol.
Andre Drummond.
Like, this is
dueling
like
Gambos for the Lakers roster.
This is a good time to get him. You want the Lakers. You want to get him early. Yeah. Anybody that heard me, you could call me an idiot. Like, honestly, right now, just go on Twitter and just say you're an idiot.
Oh, I would never call you an idiot. I will take it.
I wouldn't even block you. I'm giving you guys 1 hour from 2 to 3 o'clock to call me an idiot, and I won't block you. You have 1 hour to call me an idiot. I won't say a word. I won't even block you.
What's your Twitter handle again?
Gambo987.
That might be a long line. Yeah, that might be a very long line.
You're an idiot, and you won't get blocked. You will not get blocked. I will not block you.
But the deadline is 3 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock, that's when you start blocking people. Okay.
55 minutes to call me an idiot for that stupid comment I had last week.
Look, I'm not going to say I told you so, even though I wrote it in my show notes.
Oh, why? I would tell you I told you so.
I know you
are. I'm that type of person.
But that's when you were giving me grief on Friday for that Portland Lakers game on Friday night, for acknowledging I'm rooting for the Lakers in this game. I want the Lakers to have the tiebreaker over Portland. I want Portland to fall in the seventh seed, and it's not because I'm a Lakers fan, and it's not because I'm going to be shaking gold and purple pom-poms while standing on my couch on Friday night. I don't want the Suns to play the Lakers in the first round, and it's not even based on fear. It's based on a preference. It's just a, I'd rather play Portland. I'd rather play Memphis. I'd rather play Golden State. I'd rather, because I don't want this great, unbelievable Suns season to end losing to the Lakers in the first round. Because they're dangerous.
I'd rather play the Showtime Lakers in their prime with Kareem, Magic, and Worthy. All right? Give me them.
Yeah, Monty Williams. I'm sorry, did you have more to say?
I didn't mean to cut you off.
I paused because I was about to play a soundbite here. Monty Williams, the last two games, there was playoff intensity, and we didn't bring it.
The reality is this is two games in a row where teams have come out with playoff intensity, and we haven't started games well or played it well in the first half to have some momentum going in the halftime. We've had to come out of halftime and try to dig ourselves out of a semi-hole the other day. And then today, you know, from an intensity standpoint, I thought we were way behind. You look at the stats, it looks like, you know, in the second half, we played a lot better, but we just got to get off to better starts. And we have to understand that teams are sending a message. You know, this time of the year, we play playoff teams. We played a team that we might see in the first round. And I felt like they were sending us a message tonight. And I think our guys heard it loud and clear.
I felt like they were sending us a message tonight, and our guys heard it loud and clear.
Listen, I talked to some people in that organization last night, okay? And I have quite a few people in that organization I know, so you could guess at it, but there's no need to do that. There's no doubt that they were going to send a message last night because they know they're playing the Suns in the first round. They know they're playing the Suns in the first round, and they wanted to send a message, okay? Because I talked to some people.
I'm not laughing because it's funny.
I talked to some people in our organization last night, and yep, they wanted to send them. You know why? Because they know they're playing them.
Yeah.
We know we're playing the Suns in the first round. There's no way around. We're playing the Suns. They know it, and we know it. So we wanted to send a message to them that they are in. You know that they're not good. They're not good enough. So they did. That was a message sent. Man, that was, boy, that was tough to watch.
It was.
That was tough to watch. Ben McLemore knocking down all those threes and Drummond, Anthony Davis. There's no answer for Anthony Davis.
None.
There's just no answer.
DeAndre Ayton, even on his best day, I don't know if he can really neutralize Anthony Davis when he's going to play like that. And Andre Drummond, I mean, they can go so big. They can attack you with so much size. Now, granted, they haven't shot the three ball that well all year. They're bottom third in the NBA in three-point percentage, and they were making almost 50% of their three-pointers until I think they missed their last six when it was all said and done. So you don't expect them to shoot that well all the time. But yeah, that's the message, and it was sent, and it was received, and you could tell the intensity they were playing, and you could see how exactly they're gonna attack the Suns. Devin Booker had a very mediocre night last night, and I don't even know
he's had quite a few mediocre.
He had a mediocre night against the Knicks the other night, and they were able to rebound against that. But if that's how they're gonna defend Book in the playoffs, if KCP and others, because it was a lot of guys on Book last night. If that's how they're going to defend him, they're going to have to come up with other answers because it's very obvious we're going to take him away and we're going to take Paul away, and let's see what you got. Let's see if you can beat us any other way. And by the way, when you're on defense, good luck stopping us with our size. You can't do it.
You can't.
At least they couldn't last night.
No, there's just too much size there. I mean, Gasol, Drummond, Anthony Davis, they're just too big.
Yeah.
They're too big. So I guess I'm getting a lot of these gifts right now. I've had dozens and dozens of people call me an idiot. And the biggest gift I'm getting is the Gordon Ramsay, what are you? I'm an idiot sandwich.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay holding up two pieces of bread on either side of a woman's face.
I've gotten three of those gifts so far. Yeah.
You're, what are you? I'm an idiot sandwich. Here's Devin Booker from last night's game.
Yeah, we just have to come out ready to go. As simple as that. So whatever you have to do to motivate yourself, if you have to, you know, talk to yourself, talk to the other team, whatever it is, we just have to do it. You know, there's no scheme and effort.
If you have to talk bleep to yourself, if you have to talk bleep to the other team, man, whatever it takes to get you up for a game, because you got to get up for a game. Next up for the Suns, they're at Golden State tomorrow. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, because that's the next chapter to the story now when it comes to the Phoenix Suns. Text the word playoffs to 620-620. Sign up for the exclusive Arizona Sports Playoffs Valley virtual event featuring Arizona sports hosts and other special guests. Plus, you'll have a chance to win an autographed jersey. Text the word playoffs to 620-620. The Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. So when we come back, there's just 1 week left in the NBA's regular season, and the Suns could very well be on a collision course with the Lakers for the first round of the playoffs. Unless, .. We'll give you all the ways they won't meet up with LA next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, take it for what it's worth, but according to basketballreference.com,
okay,
the Phoenix Suns have a 90% chance of being the 2 seed. 90%.
I don't see how they're not the 2 seed.
It's
too far away from Utah, and the Clippers lost to the Knicks, so yeah, they're the 2 seed.
It's just a math thing. I mean, that's all it is. It's the Lakers. The Suns have a 3-game lead over the Clippers with 4 to play. So it's not 100% yet, but it's really close.
Yeah, they're the 2 seed.
They're going to be the 2 seed. All right. Huh. So let's operate on that premise that we know no matter what, you're not catching Utah. The Clippers aren't catching you. You're going to be the number 2 seed.
Okay, I'm the 2 seed.
You're the 2 seed. You're the Phoenix Suns, and this is what your schedule looks like the rest of this week. You're at Golden State tomorrow.
Ooh, they got something to play for.
You're home against Portland on Thursday.
Okay, they've got something to play for.
You're at San Antonio for a back-to-back at San Antonio.
Yeah, those games won't matter.
On Saturday and Sunday. The Lakers, if you look at the standings, they lost that game on Friday night to the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, big loss.
Lakers right now are the 7th seed. Portland has a 1-game lead over L.A. as the 6th seed, but in essence, that's a 2-game lead.
Because they have the tiebreaker. Advantage, yes. Yep.
They have the tiebreaker at this point. So if you're the Suns, knowing you're the 2 seed, knowing you're going to try to avoid the Lakers, what can you do to control your destiny as best as you possibly can?
Well, the number one thing is there's only one team in this 7-8-9. Right now, the Lakers are 7, Golden State is 8, Memphis is 9, San Antonio is 10. The way this would work is that the 7 and 8 would play each other, okay? The winner automatically gets the 7 seed. So the Lakers will play the Warriors right now. That's what it would have. So that's your hope. If you end up in a match, if you end up destined to play the Lakers, you do have hope that the Warriors could knock them off. That maybe the Warriors could beat the Lakers in a 1-game. Steph Curry goes off. He knocks down 13 three-pointers, and Golden State beats the Lakers. Strange. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Steph could beat them. So that's what you hope for. You hope that if it does end up that way, that Golden State could beat L.A., and then you play Golden State. And then L.A., if they lose that matchup, would have to play the winner of the Memphis-San Antonio to see who's going to be the 8th seed. So that's just in case you're headed that way. As far as the games that are left on the schedule, the only thing you could do is, one, lose to Golden State. Don't play hard against Golden State. You want Golden State to win. You want Golden State to be the 8th seed. You don't want Golden State to be the 9th seed. You want Golden State to be the 8th seed. Right now, Memphis has a chance at the 8th seed, but they've got a bunch of games coming up, and they've got they've got a final showdown with the Warriors on Sunday, and the winner may get the 8th seed in that game. So first of all, don't beat the Warriors. That doesn't help you to beat the Warriors. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Okay. Second, Beat Portland.
Go all out to beat Portland.
And give the Lakers a snowball's chance of the Lakers overcoming Portland for the sixth seed.
Yeah.
So that's what I would think right now. If you're the Suns fan, you want to lose to Golden State, and you want to beat Portland.
And when we say you want to lose to Golden State, then you start getting into that area of tanking games and trying to lose, and you put players out there on the floor, they're going to try to win. If you're a team like the Suns and you've been looking a little crispy the last couple of weeks, because we were talking about a pre-show, let's be honest, Suns have looked a little crispy the last couple of weeks, right? You asked the question, when was the last time the Suns looked good?
When was the last time they looked good?
Yeah. The last time I remember them looking good in a game was Friday night against the Utah Jazz a couple of weeks ago, right? Yeah. Week and a half ago. That was the last, okay, they looked really, really good. They looked sharp. They looked ready to go. Ever since then, you know, they didn't look that great against Oklahoma City. They certainly didn't look that good against Atlanta.
Cleveland,
they didn't look good against. The Knicks, they played terrible for the first three quarters of that game.
Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma City, they didn't play well. So they've looked crispy. So Monty can rest some guys on Tuesday against Golden State. Hey, give Chris Paul a blow. Give Devin Booker a blow. Give him a little bit of a rest. Golden State winning benefits the Suns, because it locks the Warriors into that eighth spot, because the Warriors might be able to beat the Lakers in a one-game 7-8 scenario.
Yeah, they're the only team that can. Memphis and San Antonio can't.
Yep, totally
agree. Golden State has a puncher's chance because of Steph.
And then you go all out to beat Portland on Thursday night. They're on the second night of a back-to-back. The Portland Trail Blazers are. They play the Utah Jazz the night before that. Yeah. Now, I don't know how Utah is going to do with resting guys. The Portland Trail Blazers also have the Nuggets on the schedule, but what you want is you want Portland to lose enough games.
Portland to go 2-2, and the Lakers have to go 4-0, though.
Yeah.
So if Portland goes 4-0 or 3-1, they'll be the sixth seed. They've got four games left. If they go 4-0 or 3-1, they automatically get the sixth seed. Your only hope is that Portland goes 2-2. And if you're the Suns, you could hand them one of those losses. Then you've got to hope LA goes undefeated in their final four games. Then LA would overtake them.
Yep.
So LA has to go 4-0. If the Blazers go 1-3, well, then the Lakers, you know, can
could go 3-1 and catch them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, if the Blazers go 1-3, then the Lakers could catch them at. Let me see. They 1-3. Then they could catch them with two wins, I think.
Okay.
They could go 2-2.
Well, either way. I mean, we should have done math during the commercial break and not on the air.
No, 3-1. I'm sorry, 3-1.
That's what I thought. 3-1.
They have to go 3-1. If the Blazers go 1-3, the Lakers have to go 3-1.
This is what we get for doing math on the air.
I have it all right here. I'm just yeah.
You're just adding it up while
remember,
you're on
I'm
the air.
Remember, I'm an idiot today.
Oh, that's right. I'm an idiot. You have 37 minutes and 15 seconds left to call Gambo an idiot on Twitter for expressly stating on Friday that he had no problem with playing the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. And
you don't have to listen to me, Tom Castiger and, you know, AZ all day. You don't have to send me a direct message that I'm an idiot. This guy, Tom, you're an idiot. You could just, like, tweet me. I don't need a direct message. You're an idiot. I got four direct messages that I'm an idiot.
A direct message seems so, what's the word, direct, right? I mean, it seems very, like, right to the heart, you know, whereas Twitter, it's not as pinpoint. That's what you want, I would think. Now, does beating Portland guarantee the Lakers are going to leapfrog the Trailblazers? No. Does losing to the Warriors guarantee that the Warriors are going to finish at 8 and then beat the Lakers in the first game of the play-in? No. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get the Lakers out of that 7th seed. And we looked at this, by the way, pre-show. We were looking at this from the Lakers' perspective, too. Right now, they're the 7th seed. You can make an argument they should want to stay in 7 so that they can play the Suns at 2. But think about what you're doing if you're the Lakers and you accept 7.
You'd rather have 6.
You want to get to 6.
Yeah, because you don't have to worry about anything.
Because
you don't have to worry about LeBron slips and he turns his ankle.
Right.
And you lose that game. Or Steph Curry is unconscious and he knocks down 15 three-pointers and you lose. You don't want to take a risk if you don't have to.
Because if you're the 7th seed, you've got to play one elimination game. And if you lose it, maybe a second elimination. Yes. And in those games, random stuff can happen. Injuries, foul trouble, other guy gets hot, a referee with a whistle who's working against him, and whatever the case may be, the Lakers shouldn't want to stay at 7. They should be very motivated to get to 6, and Portland should be very motivated to stay at 6. So watching those two teams in their four games the rest of the week will be, and the Suns can play a little bit of a role. I mean, in a way, the Suns losing to the Lakers last night, you could argue, was a good thing for the Suns because it kept the Lakers within shouting distance of Portland. Could you? I mean, if you're looking at the big standings and you're rooting for the Lakers to catch Portland, right? Did I just give you something new to think about? In a way, losing to the Lakers last night did you a little bit of a favor with the standings because it kept the Lakers within arm's length of the Portland Trailblazers rather than pushing them further into that seventh spot. I'm not saying I'm happy with last night's outcome, but I'm just looking at it that way.
There's no scenario in which Golden State could overtake the Lakers for the seventh seed and get that
gap's too far,
you know,
right?
That home court advantage. Yeah. Gap's too far.
The gap is too far between those two teams. So, yeah, did you get all that? There'll be a test on it later. When we come back at the Burns and Gambo show, the Diamondbacks wrapped up very disappointing road trip, getting swept by the Mets. And now as they return to Chase Field tonight, the frustrations are starting to show. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, Spencer is here with our Twitter poll question of the day. I think we now have a couple of them.
Spencer, why did you tweet me and call me an idiot?
I was going to bring this up. I think the golf course I work at, half the guys there are blocked by you. I hear about it all the time.
This is real simple. Anybody that's blocked, if they make a $25 donation to a charity of my choice, they'll be unblocked.
Yeah.
But if they make a $25 donation, charity of my choice, you get unblocked.
And on behalf of you, since we're now the window to call you an idiot on Twitter. No, it's still 28 minutes. Okay. He said for an hour you can call Gambo an idiot on Twitter for saying he wanted the Lakers on Friday. Just keep it to an idiot, okay? We don't need to call Gambo other names beyond idiot.
Point.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know,
Kermit the Frog, dumbass.
So. We don't need that.
we don't need that.
Yeah. No, just idiot is fine, and maybe an idiot meme or an idiot GIF, whatever you feel. You know,
you have 27 minutes.
27 minutes to call Gambo an idiot for saying he wanted the LA.
Anybody at 301, you get blocked.
Well, get your licks in while
you
can.
Get your yayas in while you can, baby.
Exactly.
Spencer, we have two Twitter poll questions.
Yeah, we'll go with the Cardinals since we haven't talked about him yet today. Malcolm Butler will be wearing number 21 for the Cardinals this season. Do you think Arizona should have made Patrick Peterson's old number available to be worn by somebody else? I think that this means, should they have retired his number? Is that the question here?
I think it's just
make it unavailable.
Yeah, just make it unavailable.
Until they decide. Then maybe they're not ready to decide right now.
Is it a yes or no question?
It is a yes or no.
No, they should not have made it unavailable.
You're in the minority. Only 26% say no. 73.5% say yes.
That it should be unavailable?
Yes, actually.
Did we word this the right way?
Yeah, I don't know. Did I read it wrong?
Read it again.
Do you think Arizona should have made Patrick Peterson's old number available to be worn by somebody else?
Yes. They should have made the number available.
They should have made it available.
They and 73% say yes. They should have. Okay, so I was in the majority on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want us calling you an idiot.
No.
Can't have too many idiots on the show.
I'm used to it.
At some point, the non-idiots, it's just the burden becomes way too hard to carry. Spencer, what's the second question?
The second question is, who would you like to have the Suns play in the first round of the playoffs?
Gambo, you want to take this one?
It's the four play-in teams, essentially. So, Lakers, Warriors, Grizzlies, Spurs. Who do you want?
Spurs.
20% say the Spurs, 44% say Memphis, 20% say Golden State, and 15% say the Lakers. I'm surprised it's that high.
Where are all those people voting for the Lakers on Friday when who are you going to root for tonight, Portland or the Lakers? Oh, I'm rooting for Portland. I can never root for the Lakers. Now you're saying you don't want to play the Lakers. Where were you on Friday?
Didn't San Antonio spank us the last time we played them?
Yeah.
Give me the Jazz. I want the Jazz in the first round.
Dear God.
Suns get up for the Jazz.
That just bought you another hour of people calling you an idiot on Twitter.
Utah.
Be careful.
Suns play well against them.
All right, those are both of our poll questions. You can find them on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page.
Third baseman Escobar playing on the cut of grass, and DeGrom bunts up along third, and that might be a base hit. Escobar bare hands, throws to first, and it gets away from Van Meter. McCann will go to third and hold on there. It's going to be, a single and probably a throwing error on Escobar. Boy, that was a perfect bunt by DeGrom.
It was a bunt. I'm not sure why Escobar wasn't looking for a bunt there. He should have been charging in.
That was the play from yesterday's loss by the Diamondbacks, in which they got swept by the Mets. They've now lost six straight games.
What a terrible road trip. My God.
It was awful.
That was a disaster.
They scored 12 runs. They hit 202 as a team. They had eight extra base hits the entire road trip six games. Yeah. And that was the play cited by Torey Lovello post-game yesterday when talking about the little things that they're not doing right by now. The one thing that he cited specifically was that coverage of that bunt single by DeGrom. Here's Torey after the game.
I thought so, yes. That's one of those little things that I'm talking about. And it's not Eduardo's fault. It was more than that. I know he's the easy target. We got to figure that out.
The question specifically was, and sorry, that was kind of choppy internet connection there. He was asked specifically if Escobar was playing too deep on the DeGrom bunt. And he said, yes, he was. And that's one of the things we're talking about here.
I'll give you what really happened for the Diamondback fans out there, okay? The Diamondbacks had advanced information that DeGrom would swing away until there was one strike. And so they needed to cover the area near the six hole. It's complicated, but this is really Torey didn't say this, but I'm going to kind of say it. This is the Diamondbacks advanced analytics were concerned about DeGrom swinging until he got a strike, then he would bunt. So that's why there was a lot of frustration after that. That's why you're hearing Torey take it. After strike one, the plan was that they would have been in at normal bunting depth. But with a man at first base, the bunter usually bunts to first base. DeGrom was one step ahead of him. It was a great play by him. The Diamondbacks should have been prepared for it, and they got played. Diamondbacks got played. They played DeGrom like he was going to swing. He bunted. He beat them. The Diamondbacks analytics does say that with no strikes, he's going to take a hack.
Yeah.
He's going to take one hack to see if he can knock in a single. They just played it the wrong way. They just played it the wrong way. But their information, their advanced information, said that he will swing the bat with no strikes on him, and it backfired on him, and that's all it
they
happened.
They relied on the advanced info,
yes.
and it burned them.
Yes.
And look, that was to sit here and use that one play as this everything's wrong with the Diamondbacks because of this one play would be just wholly inaccurate, right? I mean, this road trip, there were so many things that went wrong, went wrong. There was the play, what was it, on Saturday night where Kirsten Kelly threw down to second base. The ball hit Lindor in the foot and it rolled
in the
left center field.
And he scored.
180 feet.
He
first to home nobody was able to cover the ball in time to keep Lindor from going home.
No.
Stuff like that. It was the bullpen this trip. And most importantly, it was an offense that has just gone absolutely missing in action for these six games. I mean, they were brutally bad swinging the sticks during this trip. It's the most losses they've had on a road trip without a win in at least six games in like more than 10 years, right? I mean, it's been more than a decade they've been on a road trip that long where they didn't get a single win.
You have to go back to they went 0-9 in 2010. Between May and June 2010, they were on a road trip and they went 0-9. So that's how far you've got to go back. They went, I think, 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position on Friday, and then on Saturday they were 3-for-11 with runners in scoring position. It was a terrible series by the Diamondbacks. I mean, Zach Allen had a good outing on Friday, went six innings, gave up two runs, and the D-backs were up 4-0 after three. But they went seven innings, they didn't score. They had a 4-0 lead after three, but they didn't score in the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth. Caleb Smith gives up a two-run homer to Lindor in the seventh, that ties it, and then they have a crazy walk-off where they lose the game. So they just didn't play very well, and they went 0-6, and now the Marlins, who swept them on the first three games of that road trip, they come to town, and the Diamondbacks are just looking to get right, but they got to look to get right with Luke Weaver on the mound.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit, but tonight's start for Luke Weaver, I have to imagine, not that they have a ton of choices, but I would imagine Duplantier would be one of them. They can't tolerate too many more poor outings from Luke Weaver. It's one.
Is it one more?
I think two more tops, and then they're going to have to make a decision about whether they want it.
I think they get one more if he shows something tonight.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, if he shows something tonight.
If he gets blown out of there, they can't keep having a starting pitcher go out there and not pitch 5 innings.
Yeah.
Killing the bullpen.
But I mean, that to me is not minor. It's a major deal. If your starting pitcher is not giving you a chance to win, your offense isn't giving you a chance to win any of these games at all. I mean, they had so many chances. Leadoff guys getting on, to your point, so many times over the course of this road trip. You hit 202. You know, you scored 12 runs the entire, and the one lead you did have, your bullpen blew it. You know, on
the 4-0 lead,
I mean, and so
part of that I think is the offense too. They stopped scoring runs after the third.
Yeah,
they just didn't score any
good
runs.
Point. You're right.
I mean, had the fourth
and
the
runs
sixth,
they did
seven,
score
eight,
it wasn't
nine.
Like they were crushing the ball either, right? I mean, they got a bunch of walks and I think a fielder's choice when it was all said and done. Text the word bonus right now to 620-620. And then listen for your name this afternoon at 3:35 to win $500. Again, that's the word bonus to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports signing bonus. Also making news this weekend, the Coyotes, of course, we knew it. They just missed out on a playoff spot this season. And now for the first time in 4 years, they're looking for a new head coach. Gambo with all the details coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. And I quote, "It's been an honor to coach the Coyotes the past 4 seasons. I have great respect and admiration for all the players I coached in Arizona, along with my coaching staff, the medical staff, the equipment managers, the PR staff, and the team services staff. They are the best in the NHL, and I appreciate all their help and hard work. I also want to thank the fans of the Valley for all their support. I have loved living, playing, and coaching in Arizona, and this place will always be special to me." Close quote. Now, as a statement, press release sent out over the weekend from Rick Tocchet, in which it was announced that Tocchet and the Coyotes had mutually agreed to part ways as an organization and as a head coach.
Yeah, we broke that story yesterday.
You had it first on Sunday, yes, sir.
I was actually at my kid's baseball game over at Cactus Yards when I got word that this was coming down, so we got it all prepared and got it ready and then broke that story. The Coyotes decided that they were not going to extend the contract of Rick Tocchet, and Rick Tocchet also had decided that there's going to be many opportunities out there for him. I mean, maybe the Rangers job opens up. Seattle apparently is very interested. Could be Columbus. There could be several opportunities for him to move on to a more veteran team. And I think Tock was only willing to come back if certain criterias were met, you know, for him having a, you know, more of a say in the roster. Look, let's be honest. They've got 8 or 9 players that aren't going to be on NHL rosters next year. Demers isn't an NHL player. Yarmerson needs to retire. He's no good. The biggest issue is Oliver Ekman-Larsson. They don't want him. They told him in the beginning of the season they were going to trade him. He's kind of holding the organization hostage. He's a terrible player, absolutely awful. They don't want him to be the captain. My understanding is that they will strip him of the captaincy this year and try to force a trade. The question becomes, how much of that contract do you have to eat? Because he has no value. He has no value in the league. Nobody wants him. You can't really get anything for him, and you're going to have to eat some of that contract. But they do not want him to be the captain. They are very likely going to strip him of that, but they will look to move him. He was a thorn in the side the 4 years that Tocchet was here. He just was not a good player. He was not a good leader, and he kind of hung them out to dry. But Tocchet had about 8 or 9 guys that weren't NHL players, and yet injuries to Kemper, and yet injuries to Ranta, and yet injuries to Garland, and they just didn't have enough to overcome all of those injuries and the lack of leadership and toughness on that team.
It's funny. I saw this story yesterday. I got alerted when you broke it, and the first thing that went through my head, the very, very first thing, is that usually when you hear that it's phrased a mutual parting, and Bill Armstrong said that in the news release as well, this is a mutual parting of ways. The first thing having done this a long time, and I imagine you have a somewhat similar reaction, you hear mutual parting of the ways, and the first thing you think is, yeah, right. Sure. Okay. Yeah, whatever. It was mutual. This was one of those moments where I did wonder if it was, in fact, actual mutual. You know, where it was, no, really, we want to go a different direction, and you know what? So do I. I actually want to go a different direction and try something else. Usually you hear the word mutual, and all I can think of is BS, just pure unadulterated BS. But in this case, and I don't know nothing from nothing about this, so this is kind of why I'm lobbing this back to you. My reaction was, I wonder if this one was legit mutual between these two sides. Like
when Bill Armstrong came in, Tuck had 1 year left on his deal. I think it was fair that the organization, Javier Gutierrez and Bill Armstrong, that they evaluated Tuck for a year to see what was going to happen. That was the right thing to do, not to fire him and get a new coach, but evaluate for a year and see where you are. The determination is that they need to rebuild, that they've got to start over. They need to get, you know, they need to get younger. They need to get more assets and more talent. John Chyka left this team in a really bad spot. Chyka did a terrible job. He was a disaster. And now Bill Armstrong's coming in, and he's got to clean up this mess. The cupboards are bare. The cupboards are bare. Chyka did such a bad job that it is going to take Bill Armstrong a few years to draft the right players and get the right players into the system where they can be competitive.
Which is why I wondered if this was mutual, truly mutual.
Yes.
Because, you know, Rick Tocchet might look at it and go, oh, yeah, yeah, don't really want to be a part of that. Which then
no, and he'll be a hot commodity on the coach. He'll get a head coaching job.
And then it lends you to wonder, what are they going to be able to offer the incoming coach, right? Mm-hmm. The impression you get is that it's going to be a younger guy.
Tock made $1.5 million. They're not going to sign like a John Tortorella, who's going to demand more money. The criteria is going to be, first and foremost, a young and upcoming coach. NHL head coaching experience is not necessary. They're going to look at elite NHL assistants and then coaches from the juniors, the American, and the NCAA. Their plan is to have a new coach in place by the draft.
For a team that sounds like they're about to plunge into a little bit of a rebuild, that sounds about like the kind of coach they're going to be able to get. Like, yeah, the only kind of coach they're going to be able to get.
Yeah, they need to get off of some of the contracts that they have, and they need to bring in some. Now Bill has to do his job. He had a year to evaluate the organization. Now you brought this guy in. He's a very competent GM. I think he'll do a really good job. He's got to now acquire assets and younger play. Like last year, they went out and they got Pitlick and they got Broussard and they got Larson. Like they got to bring in better players. They need to bring in better players. And Bill will have a plan in place to acquire, you know, younger assets, draft picks and younger assets that have a chance to be part of this team thing for a while.
Phil Kessel today on his thoughts on Tuck getting fired.
Your coach get fired, it's not a good thing. And he's a good friend of mine. And I think he's a great coach and great person. And, you know, it's part of the business. But I love him. And, you know, I think he did a good job here. And, you know, like I said, he's a great person.
Tuck was the sixth head coach in the history of the organization. And I'll say this for him. And for the organization, we've been spoiled, but one of the things that you kind of could count on from the Coyotes the last many, many years, several years, was kind of veteran leadership at the coaching position, right? Tippett came in here. He wasn't green. Tippett came in here. He wasn't green, right? I mean, yep. There was
Tuck coached in Tampa Bay with the Lightning.
Yeah, they hired experienced, been there, done that kind of coaches who had to put up with a lot. I mean, you think about Tockett's 4 years here. Think about everything that happened in Tockett's 4 years here, right? Think about
GM quit on the team.
Yeah, all the ups and downs.
New ownership.
Everything they had to survive. And Tippett, oh my God, David Tippett deserves a medal for what he had to put up with those years that he was there. Now it sounds like for the first time they're going to be going in, not for the first time, but for the first time in a long time, they're going to be looking for a coach who is relatively inexperienced, who doesn't have that head coaching kind of experience to fall back on. And I wonder how much of a difference that will make in trying to manage what is always a really unusual, challenging situation coaching the Coyotes, right? It's not your typical NHL franchise. I think we can all say that with a straight face and know we're telling the truth. Experienced coaches kind of knew how, at least were better experienced in terms of how to navigate something like that. I don't know if somebody who's inexperienced is going to have the tools to be able to wade their way through it the way those other guys were. Does that make any sense at all?
No, sure it does. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Bill Armstrong is, will be the first to admit, Tuck did a good job. It's just they need a new voice. They want a new voice. It's been 4 years. They want to get a new voice in, and they want to change the approach a little bit. And I don't blame them for that. Tuck is a good coach. Like, he's going to land on his feet, and he's going to be fine, and he'll get a situation that will be better suited for him, and not so much as a rebuild. And Bill will get to hire his coach, right? He'll get to hire his own coach, which most GMs want to do that. Let's be honest. They want to hire their own coach. But it really comes down to they've got to acquire more talent. There's just not enough talent on this roster, and they're being held hostage by number 23, and they need to get him out. He's addition by subtraction. They've got to find a way. They don't want him. Like, they don't want him, and they haven't wanted wanted him for 2 years. It's just, there's just no value. It's hard to trade him because it's, there's just no value there.
Not going
to
be easy at all moving on from him.
They'll have
to
eat part of the contract. Yeah. And I think that they're willing to eat part of the contract just to get rid of him.
All right, coming up on the Burns and Gambo show on this Monday, they're banged up, they're bruised, but are the Lakers looking at the Suns and saying, yep, that's who we want in the first round of the playoffs right there? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.